Okay, hello. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight, to our meeting, to our discussion group. I want to say the main disclaimer first, which is before we start, I do need to remind everyone that this is a peer support group. None of us are medical or mental health professionals. Now, the discussion group of the week, of August the 20th, 2013. The title of the book we're going to be discussing is The Great Pain Deception. The author is Steve Ozenich, and the subtitle of the book is Faulty Medical Advice is Making Us Sick. In the book, Steve talks about issues that are TMS equivalents like bursitis, fibromyalgia, repetitive stress disorders, chronic fatigue, arthritis, carpal tunnel syndrome, irritable bladder, frozen shoulder, and so much more. Steve recovered from a 27-year bout with TMS, in which he had most of the equivalents mentioned. He's not just an author, but also a speaker and a healer. Steve helped me heal through past trauma and pain. Steve, early in his life at 14 years old, accepted his diagnosis from an MD that he was physically flawed for life. He went through 27 years of agony and trial and tribulation until he found Dr. Sarno's book that he called The Miracle of Miracles. He said, quote, "Shortly before surgery, he was introduced to Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain. Then he went on to discover that TMS is the result of unknown, unfelt, repressed anger, or as Dr. Sarno calls it, repressed rage. At first, he didn't believe Sarno, as I assume we all can attest to that. He didn't consider himself angry. And he'd seen so many times proof of abnormalities on MRIs and X-rays. He soon found out Sarno wasn't wrong. After being repeatedly warned that he needed spinal surgery and his pain disappeared after following Dr. Sarno's advice. In time, Steve learned, as we all do, that tension primarily derives from perfectionistic tendencies. And this is something as good as some perfectionistic, or as Steve calls it, the top T's. After 3 decades, Steve did the work of Sarno had told tens of thousands of other people that want to heal. Steve said after fully understanding Sarno's work and acting upon it, his pain ended. Steve said his hope is that more people will learn of his healing process, will have their questions answered, and be moved to a deeper level of awareness, relieved of their pain and other issues forever. Steve quotes that healing takes much repetition of new information into the frontal association of the brain for full integration. Since healing comes through deepening awareness, the word of the night, guys, is awareness, okay? I just want everybody here listening that the word of the night is awareness, okay? The answer to healing most of our health problems is knowledge. And if it keeps getting offered, suffering will fade into the background and good health and vitality to replace it, Steve says. Now on to chapter one. It's called TMS, the Mind-Body Syndrome. On page one, Steve describes the many names and many equivalents of TMS, with T, which equals tension, M, which equals mineral or myositis, and S equals syndrome. Steve said it was the loss of awareness of negative emotions that was the culprit behind most ill health. Now here's my question. Can someone tell me an instant when being unaware of negative emotions causes extreme tension to happen in your mind and body? I'm going to give you an example of mine, okay? To where I can tell an instant of being unaware of negative emotions that cause extreme tension to happen in my body. Okay, I remember just as a kid, and my brother coming in and taking a bowl of grits from me. I mean, this sounds kind of funny, but I'm gonna go through it because it's off the top of my head. But when he took that bowl of grits from me, man, on the inside of me, I was boiling mad at him. Okay, and this is stuff that you had. If you let it all out, then you're not repressing it, right? But I know Mama done told me if I jump on my brother again, even though he was my older brother, for taking my food, then she was going to whoop me. So I had to repress it. Well, that weekend, I got a bad headache. I got a migraine, I think, that lasted for like a week. And I finally had to go to the doctor, get a shot. But now that I think about it, I remember getting so angry at my brother for coming in there and taking my food, man. And when he done that, I had to hold that anger in. I had to hold it in. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't express it. I had to be a good little boy. So, you know, that was one of my instances to where I believe, looking back now, it led to that, basically a migraine when I was a kid, that
sure.
pretty much, you know, going and getting the shot in the bottom took care of it. But at the same time, you know, now I believe that was just a placebo, and the TMS got took care of. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? A part in your life that you got built up through some repression. We have a lot more people on here tonight. That joined.
Anybody else want to jump in? I'm Walt. I have an example, but if anybody else would like to jump in.
Yeah, let me say it again, since we've had quite a few people jump in here. Let me say it again. Can someone tell us an instant when being unaware of negative emotions caused extreme tension to happen in your mind-body? And then after that, you might have had a pain, a hurt, nervousness, anxiety, or something because you couldn't really let it out.
Yeah, I think I have an example out of my boyhood. I grew up in the 1930s, the Great Depression years, and my folks, you know, were like a lot of millions of others. They hardly had any work now and then, and when they did, they worked hard. But we were always, my older sister and brother and I had a childhood that was kind of difficult. But we were not any different than anybody else in the neighborhood. So we didn't know, you know, that we were any different. Except, well, long story short, my parents divorced when I was about 7. So that left me with kind of, I think, years later, I'm starting to realize was a form of rejection and instability. Instability and rejection. And then a year later, well, right away, a month later or 2 months, she married a man who had a house to give us, you know, a roof over our heads. And it was hard for her. She told us years later that she had a couple of shots of bourbon before she'd go to bed with him at night. And anyway, she stayed with him a year and then got back to my birth father. And that only lasted about another 10 years, and then he passed away. And she married his brother, who was kind of a nut. Well, long story short, I think a combination of divorce in the family with four fathers. One of them was twice. The instability of that, plus financial instability that I lived with my parents during the Great Depression, left me, and I wanted to be, I didn't want to cause any trouble. So I was trying to be a perfect child, and I was. Boy, everybody else, I never gave them any trouble at all. Nobody. So I think I repressed a lot of that anxiety and insecurity by being a perfect little boy. But I think that left me with repressed emotions that eventually came out. I had about, during high school, I had a week in which I later learned was an out-of-body experience. Well, you're not sure where you are. Anyway, it was an emotional kind of thing. And a week's rest, I got over it and haven't had it since. But I think all that came on from my repressed feelings about the, you know, the divorce and the family and all that. Well, that all sort of stayed hidden on me for many years. But about 2 years ago, my nearest, closest friend and his wife divorced. That was the trigger point for beginning my back pain. Not the case of beer. That brought it to a surface now. But it was the second, you know, it was a renewed example, a trigger point of my friends divorcing because I felt part of their family. So they gave up their house and then their kids moved away. My friend has remained wonderfully close to me and his children. But anyway, I think that new divorce brought all that childhood stuff back to me. And now, reading The Great Pain Deception, Chapter 1, today, made me tie it all together, that the early divorce and insecurity and not, you know, losing the feeling of being part of a family was triggered by my recent friend's divorce. But I'm doing some thinking about it today, and I'm thinking, hey, no family is permanent. People move, friends move, relatives pass away, parents pass away. We are part of a bigger family, of whatever family. We may not be related, but we're part of a family, like in TMS Wiki, we're part of a TMS family, and we're all part of the family of God. I think that's enough for now.
That was pretty good, Walt. I know what you were saying on that. And you know, I had mine's not gonna last very long because I had a friend a few years ago. You know, where I thought really she was like one of my best friends. You know, because we always hung out together and everything. But the only thing about it, and I never said anything to her, but you know, every time that we would, you know. If she would mention that something great happened to her, I was always there rooting for her, cheering her on and saying, oh, you know, I'm happy for you. I'm very, glad to hear it. You know, if she got a new car and everything, you know, I'd be, you know, all excited for her. But if anything, exciting happened to me, it was like instead of saying I'm happy for you, she was always, you know, saying, well, I could do better than that. You know, I can do better than that, And for me, it brought in a lot of anger. You know, depression, yep. Because it would make me sad because I'm thinking, you know, hey, you know, I'm happy for her. Why can't she be the same way for me and be a good friend to me and be there for me? And whenever she needed something, you know, I was always there for her. But when I needed her, it was like she would turn her, you know, back on me. And that really brought in, you know, I was hurt.
That's
and,
not right.
And that was, you know, like I said, I got depressed, I got angry, you know, I had some hate in me because of her and, you know, the way she would do me. I would, you know, it would bring in, you know, aches and pains, you know, of course, I really wasn't aware of the fact then that was the cause, you know, of the pain and everything. But, you know, I knew the anger and depression and all that was there, but I didn't connect it with the pain. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. I think you're justified in feeling pain from that. The person let you down. It's kind of like a betrayal of friendship. To me, that's one of the roughest things to endure is when a close friend takes advantage of you or doesn't appreciate you the way, they really should return your caring for them with reciprocal caring.
Yeah, because, you know, I would show her, all the compassion in the world because, to me, I thought she was the bestest friend that I ever had. But, you know, but after that, you know, I started, you know, it was like I started realizing how she was treating me, the way she was treating me, saying that she was better than I am and everything. And
oh,
pretty
my.
Much kept telling me that I wasn't good enough, like, you know, she was better than I was. And, I mean, I think the only way that I had to get rid of that was just to, you know, stop. I kind of had to get away from her.
That's the thing.
So,
she was poisoning your drinking water.
And you know, so slowly but surely, I just, you know, I gradually just started, you know, disconnecting with her, and you know, after that, I just started feeling much better. I got rid of all the, you know, the anger. I forgave her, you know, but and I didn't have any more pain, you know, so I finished on that.
You handled it really well.
Sometimes they say that if, you know, if someone is hurting you like that, sometimes you have to, you know, step away from them, you know, in order for you to heal, too. You know, if it's somebody who's wanting to hurt you real bad. So, you know, I just felt like that's what I had to do.
I think you did it well.
I thought it was impressive, you know, about Steve, you know, about his, how he went, like, in chronic pain for, like, 30 years, you know, and then after, you know, what was it, about, after he found John Sarno, he was, like, he started working on it for, what, a year and a half, and then he'd been pain-free for 11 years or something like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
The audio conference will now begin.
Yeah, we're having a deja vu here.
Did you hear that too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, computer tech, all the technology can drive you crazy. When it works, it's wonderful, but boy, when it gives you trouble, then you want to pull your hair out.
I think it's more trouble than it's worth.
I agree. About 2 years ago in my suburb here, we had a power outage for 3 days, and I didn't have computer, no electric at all, so I wasn't able to be on a computer, no television, no radio. I didn't mind at all. I spent the time reading as long as there was daylight, and I had my Sony Walkman battery operated to listen to some nice classical music. And I'll tell you, I had the nicest, relaxed 3 days in many, many years.
Okay.
I was without technology.
Okay, guys, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Back again.
Yeah,
right.
We can hear you.
Okay, there let's go on to the next question. What about that, okay?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Okay, this is another part from Chapter 1. Steve says we all have had diagnoses and prognoses that our back, knee, foot, hip, repetitive stress injuries, etc., is due to either genetic or human design flaws or physical flaws, like you need to strengthen your core, lose weight, or worst-case scenario, you need surgery. Now, here's the question. Does anyone remember a time when the doctor told you you had a flaw, and you believed it, but later discovered it was TMS? What was your thoughts after the doctor's advice and after Sarno's advice?
Well, it's Walt again. I have an example, but I'm not sure I can trace it back to TMS. I had a pimple on my neck some years ago. God, it's 30 years ago. And I went to my family doctor, and he said, well, let's keep looking at it every couple of weeks. And so I did, and a month went by, and he said, well, it's still there. I think you better have a cancer surgeon look at it. I thought, oh, my God, a cancer surgeon. I would never have seen it in my life. It terrified me. But I did. I went to a cancer surgeon, the head of the cancer department at Evanston Hospital. And I had to wait for about 4 hours in his office because he was going to go on a golfing vacation, and he wanted to see all his patients before he left. So finally he sees me, and he looks at my neck, and he couldn't find anything. Finally, he said, where? What are you talking about? And I showed him, and he said, oh, yeah, that's got to be opened up and operated on. And I said, my God, you couldn't even see it a minute ago, and now you want to cut open my neck? And so I remembered that my family doctor had said if he suggests any kind of surgery, ask for them to take a culture first. So I asked him for that, and he said, no, you definitely need the surgery. No culture is necessary. So I didn't want to argue with the surgeon, so I agreed to get the surgery a week later. So So the day before that surgery was scheduled, I called his office again, and I said, I really want a culture taken. So the doctor's assistant finally agreed. I went in for the culture taken, and a week went by, and I didn't hear from anybody. So I called after a week, and his nurse looked it up in the records, and she said, oh, that was just a water blister. You can forget about it.
Wow.
So it was yeah. You know, scared the daylights out of me. I was really afraid I was going to have my neck opened up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they love to go to the knife.
Well, that was a good example.
I think
anybody
I
else
had,
got an example?
Yeah.
You know, like Walt said, you know, I didn't know about TMS back then, but you know, a few years ago, I had some back pain. You know, well, I had a back injury, but I recovered from it. You know, I recovered from it without having to take any kind of pain medicine or anything like that, and I healed. Okay, well, I'd say about maybe 5 or 6 years later, you know, I was going through a rough time. You know, it was just me and my three boys, and so I started having back pains again, and so I went back to the doctor. And they did all kinds of tests, you know. I think I was over there for about maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months doing nothing but different, you know, tests from them, giving them blood, everything that I could, you know. And nobody really could tell me exactly what was going on. So they sent me to another doctor, and when I went to go see him, he said, well, he goes, the only thing that I can think of is the fact that, you know, well, it was because the reason that you're having all this pain is a result of you being, you know, when you were pregnant, you know, all your babies were big babies. You know, they were, you know, over 8 pounds. And I'm small, you know, I don't weigh but 90, you know. And so anyhow, I'm thinking, okay, so you're telling me that I'm having back pain, I said, after having heavy babies, and I'm just now getting the pains, you know, after my child is, you know, 17 years old. I said, that don't make any sense. You know, that don't make any sense at all. But, you know, as I was, you know, I was reading something from, you know, Steve, and they said that before he had to have the spinal surgery and all that, that the results for, you know, some of the results for Steve's back pain was suppressed emotions and anger and anxiety. Well, you know, I had all those when I, you know, back then. So, you know, I'm like, that was what was wrong with me, you know, all that time, because I was going through a rough time, you know.
Yeah.
So I realized that's what the team meant was. I just didn't know it at the time.
That sounds remarkable. Wow. So it took that many years later, and you're still in pain, and come to find out it's TMS, right, Nifa?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, you know, and believe it or not, all of this is coming from chapter one of a man's book, so this is pretty awesome. Is it okay? We're going to go on into the next one, the next question.
Yeah.
How long were you thinking structural before you found out it was psychological? Now, this is a question that came to my mind, and I'm going to tell you how long I was thinking structural before it came that I understood that, you know, all this pain in my body was generated through my mind, through my repressions, through not soothing myself enough. Basically, 39 years. So, you know, that whole time, I didn't know this miracle of miracles, as Steve calls it, that we can use our minds and heal our bodies. And I thought, when I was laying there in that bed 2 years ago, I thought that was it, because I was hurting from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And from what the doctors had told me, I thought I would never be able to live life normal again. And then that day came that I got, you know, Dr. Sarno's book, and then I heard about Steve Ozenich, and I got his book, and all of a sudden it just clicked with me, because most of my life I've studied this type of stuff anyway. I just never had it put together like Dr. John Sarno and Steve Ozenich puts it together. And it clicked with me, and it made all the sense in the world. And I think in a matter of five to six months from 20 some odd years of pain, I was up moving, doing things that I you know, never could even do in my 20s or 30s, and I'm 40 now. So that was one instance for me. Walt, I think it was a while for you too. You don't got to tell how many years.
No, the pain was, the majority of the pain, you know, went away after about a month or month and a half. But then I still had lower back pain. All the rest of the pain on my shoulders and my other parts of my back had gone away from believing in TMS. But that remaining 10% in my back, I kept resisting that it was 100% TMS. I kept telling myself, yeah, but I'm 83. I'm bound to have aches and pains in my back. And everybody else around me, you know, in the neighborhood, all everywhere walking, like, you know, they have back pain too. So I finally have reached the decision that no, it's all the back pain. It's not from aging or structural. It's all from repressed emotions. And now it's feeling much better. And I read in Ozanich that once you decide that 100%, some people can cure overnight. Others take months or a couple of years. So I think we have to be patient about that and let our conscious mind convince our subconscious that we know why it's causing us pain.
Well, you know, at first, Walt, I wanted to be one of the people that got the book cure. I was bound and determined that I was going to get that book cure. And the very first night that I read that, I went outside and lifted some weight that was pretty much real, real heavy weight. I didn't hurt that night. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, you know, I got it. I thought to myself, I've got the book here. Well, you know, come two or three days later, I was laid up in bed. So I didn't get the book here. But here's the thing. I did get the book here, but I got it through patience, through understanding, through working the program, and through getting, you know, all of my bad, if you want to call it that, bad behaviors and stuff under control, getting the soothing down and the awareness, the acceptance, and so forth. You know what I mean, Walt?
Yes, I sure do. A lot of the repressed emotions can be discovered by journaling, and I think we all know how much benefit we've gotten. When I first read Dr. Sarno, I thought, journaling? I don't think that's going to be any help. And I kind of resisted that idea. But I started right away, and then I realized, my goodness, I have a lot to remember that were cloudy, bad, stormy days, not sunshiny days. And I thought, my God, what one of those repressed emotions is causing my pain? Well, I think probably it's a combination of it. For a lot of us, it's a combination of things. And we have to stick with trying to discover what those are. And today, you know, I think it became more clear to me from reading that chapter one of Pain, The Great Pain Deception, that it seems for me it all stems from family divorces, insecurity of that, and the Depression-era financial instabilities, and the trigger points of my friend's recent divorce and feeling kind of losing that family connection that I had been...
Relationship, yeah.
That family relationship that I'd been for years. And present, you know, financial conditions were trigger points for the bringing back to mind the insecurities of living through those years of the Great Depression.
Yes. Okay, guys, I'm going to go to the next one, but I want to mention a word that Steve brought up in the chapter one of the Great Pain Deception. I thought it was a cool word to learn. It's called tricordify. It means to pull together. It means to come back together in relationship. And a lot of times when we have TMS, it's because of we've got a lost relationship. We feel like Steve says it happens the earlier in life it happens, the more the TMS can be on you. It's because everybody wants to know that they're wanted. Everybody wants to know that, you know, that they have a relationship. And I think, you know, that's a powerful thing. But anyway, he mentions the word to cordify, and it means, you know, to pull the heart back together in connection with someone so you can have that relationship. And it's important that we get to speak like we're doing now, that we get to talk to each other, and that we get to give ideas. And that is the way we heal. A lot of people can heal sitting at home, reading the books and all that, but you get in here and you start just, you know, talking and getting to meet new friends and all of this, whether it be TMS Wiki, whether it be here, we start to pull ourselves back together. And through doing this, it helps us heal too, okay? I just wanted to bring that in there. The word to cordify is pretty neat. Okay, now I'm going to go to the next question, okay, guys?
Well, I'd like to add something to that.
Okay, go ahead, Walt.
I've had experiences with kind of, you know, some three or four of very close friends that I've had over the years. And when we have a disagreement, the disagreement was all political. It was, you know, they were Republicans and I'm a Democrat.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Politics.
That now, and we should learn, stay away from that one. Don't discuss your, you know, politics and all that, or
politics,
feel like you're right and you're wrong. But
yeah.
the thing was that, boy, it was the other person, several of them, who said, okay, that's it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Don't email me anymore and all that. And I thought, gee, that's so terrible to end years of friendship over, a disagreement of politics. I didn't think it was necessary to end a friendship. But with a few of them, one or two of them, I let it rest for a while. And then
it
hurt terrible. Sure, I felt I lost a great friend like a brother.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I let it set for a while. But then I came back and I thought, okay, you know, time heals all wounds. So I would call the person or email them, and I'd say out of three or four different friends, two of them replied and said, oh, that's wonderful. Well, let's just go on from where we were and forget that, put that political stuff behind us. But two others, it was damaging. I never heard from them again. And I tried to reconcile. I forgive myself and I forgave them, but they wouldn't. So then you got to live with that one. And you just got to figure, okay, that's their problem, not yours. You
yeah.
did all you could, and then drop it and be grateful for the friends that you can still, you know, that you still have.
There you go. That's great. I want to bring up something Stock Trader had just put in the chat room here. It's pretty good. I think it goes right with what we're saying, and I want to thank Stock Trader for putting this here. It says, isolation is separation. Separation is depression, and depression is pain. And this is quoted from Steve-O, okay? So does that not ring such a strong bell with everybody here? I mean, I'm going to say that one more time. Isolation is separation. Separation is depression, and depression is pain. Does that not ring a bell with someone here?
Mm-hmm.
Nanfo, was you going to say something?
Well, you know, he mentioned that when you said pain, you know, it brought me to something. Steve also said something about it, and I like this part too because it was pretty good. He explains it all when he says that that the pain and the illness are expressions of our inner self that have gone unrecognized until we get, you know, something like, you know, realize the symptoms that we have are repressed and actually a part of ourselves. And I thought that was pretty awesome when I read that. I'm like, hey, he hit that right on the nose. Because, you know, he's right about that.
That is pretty awesome. I remember the isolation, the separation part. I remember for the first time, in my early 20s when I moved out to go and live away from mom. I'm a number one mama's baby boy, by the way. And when I went to you know, live on my own, start up my own life and everything, be a man, you know, I just had this longing and deep thing in my heart, missing my mom all the time. Now, I would go visit her, you know, about twice a month. But it took me maybe about 6 months to get over this inner pain, this inner anxiety of just missing my mom. You know, then it was an anxiety. And anxiety is a form of TMS. So, plus, this could go into so much more. I could imagine somebody that's already hurting, say somebody, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, has been in a relationship for 10, 15 years with their wife or their husband, and then all of a sudden, you know, and they've already got TMS, they're already hurting in their knee or something, and then all of a sudden, you know, their loved one gets up and leaves. It might be a child that leaves the house. And you could just imagine how much more if they didn't know, you know, what we know about TMS and the things that we study and learn on TMS Wiki. The more pain that they have to endure by thinking of that, you know? So that's pretty powerful, and I just want to thank Stock Trader for hitting that up in there. Okay, I want to go on to the next one. Is that okay, everybody?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve quotes that we are conditioned to believe that we have real injuries by modern medicine's faulty advice to feel broken. And so we are broken, a self-fulfilled prophecy. Okay, and the question is, what were your thoughts when you heard your diagnosis or prognosis? Steve says the demand to try and obtain a false self-image creates tremendous internal strife that is buried as a repression or rage. Now, let me shorten that up. Okay, what were your thoughts when you heard your diagnosis or prognosis about, like Walt, about maybe your back, if you ever did hear something about that, or when it first happened.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when it first happened, when you picked up that, you know, that case of beer? When did it, you know, hit you that, I mean, what was you thinking? From all the diagnoses and prognoses that you've heard other people get, what was running through your mind?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
this is before you knew about sarnos.
I thought I slipped a disc or whatever, you know, broke my back, and it had nothing to do with that because, like Sarno says, most structural, you know, pain goes away within weeks or months, several months, you know, within weeks, and this did go away, but I think it went away because of my, you know, reading about TMS.
Oh yeah, it did. I remember we had a lot of talks about it, and it got less, and it got less, and it got less, and then it came back on strong, and then it got less, and then it got less, and now today you're doing pretty good, ain't you?
Yeah, it moved around the body quite a bit, but then I kept telling myself, hey, it's all repressed emotions, and my subconscious finally got the message and let me alone.
There you go. There you go. Is anybody else, you know, got anything they can say about that? About the first time they had the diagnosis, a prognosis, or a time from your doctor before you knew about Sarno, before you knew about Steve Ozenich, and all of a sudden, what were the thoughts that was running through your mind? I know for me, when the doctors told me about my back, about my body, you know, basically the pain started in the back, but it, by the time like 20 years had passed, it was all over body pain, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was fighting it the whole time, you know, with hope and just knowing that one day I was going to be able to heal myself. And, you know, by just hanging in there being a fighter, I came to that point. But at the same time, you have those days of doubt. You have those days that you just don't know if you're ever going to, you know, be able to come out. And you see other people that talk about, you know, how they had that same injury and it only lasts for a week or two and then it left them. But, you know, with us, with our personalities and with the way we hold repressions, if we get stuff, a lot of things that happens to us, we hold it in. And when we do, it generates pain in our bodies. And TMS is something that until you figure out, you know, like Sarno teaches and like Ozenich teaches, until you figure out the rules of the game, you don't get pain-free. You have to get in there and do the work, and then you get better. But, you know, at first, when I heard, you know, all the things the doctors were telling me, I just got depressed to even go to the doctor anymore because I knew it was just going to be another time the doctor was going to be trying to convince me to get a back surgery. Another time the doctor was going to try to convince me that it was, you know, fibromyalgia. Another time the doctor was going to try to convince me that, you know, my life was basically going to be over, or it was over as I wanted it to be, you know? So one thing that I've gotten from everything, and I know everybody gets it when they read Sarno's books or Steve Ozenich's book, is hope. And I'm telling you, brothers, this is a hope that does not disappoint. This is a special thing. This is a special thing that it was put here from the higher powers. I mean, how other could it be, you know? But anyway, I'm going to go on to the next question, okay?
Yep.
Can you remember a time when you tried to create a false self-image and it created tension? Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, I have to go to work. Say I have to go to work with a group of guys when I was a lot younger. I really didn't understand all the rules at the job, and you know, but I was acting like I did. I was, you know, I was in there playing around and was acting like I did. But the whole time I was acting like I did, I had this anxiety burning on inside of me. I just knew somebody was going to bust me out, or you know, I just knew I was going to get in trouble because here I was out here working on these roofs, and I was telling them I was a roofer, and I was just a kid. I wasn't a roofer, but I was burning up on the inside. It was already 110 degrees out there, and on top of that, I think my blood pressure was rising just from the tension that somebody was going to find out that I didn't know how to roof. Of course they did real quick, but at the same time, it was a time that, you know, I try to create a false self-image. You know, there was times that I wanted to do public speaking before the age of 29. I've told that story before. And just by not being able to go and do what I wanted to do, there was a false self-image of me there, because really I was a public speaker. Really I was that person. But I was holding myself back. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next question, guys.
Yeah.
Steve says that trying to please others and being good, taking care of all, controlling all, and doing all is to avoid rejection when relationship returns to wholeness. Now, the question is, can you think of a time when you went to these extremes to take care of all and it caused you tension, stress, or even pain? In other words, being good is trying to, you know, do it all, you know, like the lady that tries to make the perfect party, like the guy that tries to impress his boss, like the kid that tries to impress his mom, you know. These are all cases where we're trying to return to wholeness. So basically my question is, can you think of a time when you went to those extremes to take care of all? Can you think of a time when you done something to get attention because, you know, you wanted to be the good person. You wanted to make sure everything was right. You had some perfectionist qualities or whatever. But you didn't. You didn't follow through. And when you didn't, it caused tension, stress, or even pain.
Yeah, I tried caring for my mother. My sister tried, and she gave up. And after a couple of years, so then my sister and brother asked if I would look after her. And so I said, yeah, but now I didn't have a spare bedroom in my little house. So I found her an apartment about two blocks away. And I could only handle it about 2 years. And then I had to ask my brother to take her off my hands because I loved my mother, but boy, I'm telling you, everybody knew that she was so demanding, so impossible to please. And a lot of older people are. And they found another place for her. And that left me with a lot of guilt. And I think that developed into a lot of TMS. So, you know, thinking about it, journaling about it, I decided, hey, I did as much as I could to help her. My sister tried. My sister developed into cancer and other things because I think she grew up like I did under the same stresses that I did as a boy. She was only a year older. And so I think that I told myself, you know, she did the best she could. I did the best I could. My brother didn't even try. He didn't even take her for a day, much less 2 years. So I thought, hey, we did better than him, so why should I feel so guilty?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Well, I've forgiven her, and I've forgiven myself.
You know, there's only so much you can do. I know what you're talking about. I've gone through, I can't tell you how many times that I've gone through this problem here, you know, where I do everything that I can possibly can to help someone out, and it's like, there's someone in there, it doesn't matter how much you do, how much you try,
yeah.
It's not good enough. They want more, and they want more, and they want more, and you're trying to do everything you can to where you've given all you can give. You know, and that's where, you know, where I start, you know, getting a lot of pain and anxiety because I'm doing everything that I can, but yet they're not happy with it. And it upsets me, you know.
Sure. Well,
you know.
What the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back for me was my mother was that we were in the middle of a blizzard in Chicago, in a really terrible blizzard. She asked me to go out to the grocery store and get a few groceries, so I said, okay. So I lost my parking spot. I had to drive to the grocery store, and I got her stuff that she wanted, and when I came back, I had to find another place to park the car, and that meant shoveling out a spot, you know, to do that. When I got to her apartment, I gave her the stuff, and she looks at it, and, oh, her face dropped to the floor. And I thought, God, instead of thanking me, I'm not satisfying her enough. She said, well, yeah, I asked for a can of sauerkraut, but I wanted it with caraway seeds.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Holy moly, I swore. I said, Mom, you never said that. And now
yeah.
I gave you a sauerkraut. So I called my brother, and I said, find somebody else to look after her.
Mm-hmm.
And that left me with guilt.
Because yeah,
I was Mr. Perfect. I was the perfect boy, the perfect son.
Yeah, but you can only, you know, like I said, you can only do so much before, you know, you have to, you know, sometimes you have to give in and say, hey, look, you know, what more do you want? There's nothing more I can do. I've given you everything that I've done everything that I can, you know. The only thing I got left is my blood.
But I think some seniors just are so self-centered, self-focused that they don't
But we still have to keep. We still have to keep. You know, we still have to understand that we have to control the part of us that gets angered or that gets hurt. You know, and that's the part where
our own survival.
Yeah, and that's the part where we can learn to control that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we can learn to control that part, that's when we can start putting the flames of TMS out. Right, guys?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
true.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Look, I really appreciate everything y'all saying. We've got a few more minutes, and I want to get to the next question. Steve said, and this is still in chapter one here, that Dr. Sarno has found that when his patients realize the pain is a distraction, it often disappears. And my question is, since learning that you've had TMS, what pain in your body or whatever, it could be an anxiety, it could be a pain in your body, that now that you know what TMS is, now that you know how to think psychologically and think what is it emotionally with me that could be causing this pain instead of, something physical, have you had an experience like that yet? For example, I had an experience with the rotator cuff that I had for over 20 years. One doctor will tell me it was, torn rotator cuff. Another doctor will tell me it was frozen shoulder. I could barely raise my arm. I could barely do anything with my right arm for years. And as soon as I found out about TMS, it's probably 3 or 4 months into it, I could just literally tell the pain would start to come up, and I could literally tell it to stop, and it would stop because I knew that it was TMS. I knew what the emotion was. I knew what the problem was. Usually it was somebody, might have upset the id part of the kid in me or something like that. And I knew it. And I would just tell that pain in my shoulder to stop. Now, this is just one example, but another example is where I was journaling one day. And while I was journaling, I was wondering, what is it? What is it that's got this, this pain, holding in my back? And then all of a sudden, I journaled about an argument I had had with a family member. And when I journaled about it, it came to me that I wasn't even thinking about that as something that might have been causing, anxiety unconsciously. And that's what it was. As soon as I journaled about it, I had an aha moment, and the pain left. And my question is, has anybody else had those type of moments, maybe just where you just, noted through awareness and you caught it and then the pain left, or you was journaling and you caught it and then you knew that you had that aha moment?
Well, I think isn't it a trigger point, something recent that surfaces, and then you remember, you remember a repressed emotion from the past that mm-hmm. relates to what you're experiencing now.
Correct.
And, in my life, it was the insecurity of divorces in the family, and then recently my closest friend and I was, over there every Saturday, and to the husband and wife and the three kids, and I felt a part of their family. And their divorce was traumatic for them, but it also was for me. And at the time, I never really realized how much that friendship and closeness meant to me until I lost it.
Awesome. Was there anything that sued you so that, did you generate pain from that?
Well, I think that
was it emotional pain, like anxiety?
That kind of I had the back pain before, I think, you know, subconsciously I had the back pain, but that brought it to the surface.
Okay.
And then that reminded me of all my boyhood repressing the feelings of separation and anxiety. And my sister and I kept it to ourselves. We shared it with each other, but we didn't talk about it to the family at all. We never said, hey, you know, tired of having you people yelling. See, my brother ran away to the Navy in World War II when he was only 16 to escape. But my sister and I were trapped. We were younger. We were trapped. And that feeling of being trapped, I think, gave me a lot of stress that I repressed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, I got one more question before we end the night out to see. I think every one of us has been through this. So Steve mentions how we can watch something on TV pertaining to illness and see a loved one or a friend with an illness, and we too will often develop the symptom. Can you tell me of a time this has happened to you? And it's probably about the time before you learned TMS. You know what I'm saying? TMS healing. In other words, something you saw on TV, you know, the new in vogue sickness or the new in vogue dis-ease, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody you knew in the family or somebody you might have known got it. Or you might have even started having to go get the Nexium for the acid reflux, you know? Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Walt wanted to say something.
Okay. You go ahead and info if you have something.
Oh. I was having a lot of neck pain and everything like that, you know, but I got to where I wasn't, it didn't hurt as bad or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes, you know, my daughter-in-law saying that her neck was hurting, and then she was calling, like, she went in there to the internet to go look at what the symptoms were and everything, and she started saying, oh, my God, I've got this, I've got that. Well, she had me thinking I had the same thing because I was having the same, you know, neck pain that she had, and I'm like, oh, my God. I said, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I'm like, but, you know, she literally had me just because of what they said on the internet, you know, with the symptoms, I thought I had it. And, but, you know, and I started getting scared. I was like, well, I may have to go to the doctor, you know. But, you know, because she does that every time she's got a symptom, she'll get on the internet to find out what it is. And the next thing you know, she thinks she's got it. But she had me scared, too, that day. I thought I was going to, you know, have to go to the emergency room. And it was just, you know, stress is what it was, you know. But I didn't even think about it back then. You know, but it was stress.
That's how they can that's how other people can put something on us. But through TMS awareness, mm-hmm. we understand that we just don't want to hold on to their symptoms anymore, right? It's already 10:06, guys. So I want to mention one more thing that Stock Trader said. He says CNN commercials are full of medical commercials, like GERD commercials and. He said that's why he sticks with MTV and ESPN. And I think
it's terrible.
Smart.
Some of these products that they tell you, you know, this is going to help your backache and all of that. They say, however, if you have these symptoms, don't take it. And then they go down a list of things that could make you blind or sterile or kill you.
Yeah.
And I think, my God, why would anybody take any of that with those risks?
That's it.
But
well,
there
listen,
are a lot
guys.
Of people who do because they sell enough to pay for the commercials.
Yes,
but,
exactly. That they're making a killing, as Steve says in his book. wow, it's an epidemic out there. Thank God we all know now, you know, the truth, and what we got to do is work what Dr. Sarno says, work what Steve-O says in his book. I call him Steve-O, that's his nickname on TMS Wiki there, and we all love him. He's a good guy. He's a guy with a heart as big as Texas, and we just appreciate his wisdom here. Now, this is wisdom just on half of chapter one. So we got a lot of good stuff to talk about, and we'll continue next week, I guess, with chapter two.
Yeah, right.
Let's do it. I feel like I've been in psychoanalysis tonight.
I'm going to go ahead and end the conference so we can talk. Thank you, and we'll take this over next week. God bless everybody.